Daf is Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. I figured the bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis and Beis, the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel. I see you guys at the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel. Andy? Okay, fine, we'll do that. Excellent. Top of Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. We got to two lines down. We'll take it from there. Hahu. So Gemara says, Hahu, de palgina le nichse le'atsasa ulevaneha. A person had divided up his property, property to his wife and some property to his children. And Shayar Chad Dikla, he left back one. He removed one of the trees that wasn't part of the division. So what's the halach here? So he said whenever the woman had accepted upon herself a certain chalukah, then she's mochel her ksuba, the rest, she can't collect from any other property. But that's only a case where everything was given away. Part was given to her, and the other part was given to her children. But this case, there was one tree that was left to not given to anybody. So what's the implication from this halacha? So Savar Ravina Lamema, Ravina wanted to suggest, Les la ella chad edikla. She only gets to collect one from that one tree. If you look at the Rashbam here, three narrow lines down. They're not so narrow here, but they're relative to the other lines, they are narrow. The Rashbam writes that Savar Ravina Lamemar Lesle Mimosa Ksuba Ella Hahudikla. Any amount that she needs to collect from the Ksuba, she can only collect from this tree, but none of the other properties that the children got. Deha Elo Shire Dikla, if no tree was left over at all, he gave away all the property. So we know the halacha of the ksubasim and abanim. She loses the ksuba from collecting from any of the property that the children get. Shemachalahem sheavoda shibuda. She is mocha her shibud. Mishum denasis shutaf beneim. She created a partnership with them and she's mocha on everything else. Since the husband left over one tree, so that tree she is able to collect from. That was the suggestion of Ravina. But then the Gemara says, comes along now, Amar le Raviyemar le Ravina. He says back to Ravina, I lesla chadikla la nami lesle. It's a I lesle chadikla nami lesle. If she can't collect from the other property, so then from that dikla she can't collect either. Has to go together. Any property that she's not getting, either she could collect from all the property, the tree and the sons, or she can't collect from anything. You can't start dividing between the tree and the other property. So if you're saying that she doesn't have from the other property, from the sons, so then she shouldn't get from that tree either. And therefore, Rav Yema argues and says the complete opposite approach. And Ella Yema, Ella Migo, the Nachta Ladikla, Nachta Nam Lakula Nichsa. He says the opposite. That once she does get a chelik in that tree, she also gets a chelik in all the other properties of the sons. That's what he says. There's a decent sized Rashbam here. Don't want to go through all of this. But let's just get to the final response here. If you go to the Rashbam, it's in the narrow lines here. Let's see which one line I want here. Go to the first one. The line is Libanim. I'm not sure that helps you. Right below the Hagosa Bach in my Tzur Sadaf here. Libanim, it says Mali Ma Minosan Dekam Ela Shelochala Ela Mai Islechala Meimar Meiza Tam Nachta Adikel. The Chof Mimeta. What's the reason why she's allowed to collect from that tree? This is again the Maskana according to Rav Yemar. Haydim Bishim De La Machla Ksubasa. She wasn't Mochan a Ksuba. Why wasn't she mocha on the ksuba? Sherehi niach lamakum ktsas ligvos mimanu. Since the husband left one tree that wasn't divided, so that tree she knew she was going to collect from. So she wasn't mocha on the ksuba. She had that to collect from. Kigon haidek il shalaratu lachlok levanu. That particular tree, he didn't want to divide. So she knew she had an area to collect from. So then he explained, migo dinachta dekel. Once that she had a place to collect from that tree, that also allows her to collect from the ksuba, her ksuba from the other properties given to her sons. Why? The fact that she was quiet and she didn't protest at all, but usually the reason why she's mocha after he divides the property is because she didn't say anything. So the fact that she was a shasuk tells us that she was mocha in the ksuba. So in this case she was also quiet, she didn't say anything, no. The reason why she was quiet here was not because she was mocha, because her husband left over the tree to collect from, so she has nothing to protest about. And therefore, Savra, she thought, Lama a'arar achsha, why should I complain now? Ad she'ashumu beisin esadeka. Let me wait until Bezdin assesses the value of the tree. Let me collect the tree. And then, if I need to collect more money, v'hadar a'arar al-abanim, then I'll go protest about the property that the sons got. The mechelek v'achof mehen amos, and then I'll collect the money from her, from the other properties. Her silence was not an admission. The only time the shtika of hers is a mechila. It's only when all the property is given out. But once even one tree is left behind, so then there's no basis that the shtika is kemechila, and she is able to collect her ksuba from not only that tree, but all the other properties that was given over to the children. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Huna, around seven lines down, Amar Rav Huna, Shchim Me'rasha Kasev Kol Nechasev La'acher. A person who is deathly ill, he writes all his property to another person. So Rav Huna says, Rowan Imurai Liarsho, Notlin Mishim Yusha. If the individual he writes the property to is someone who should be able to inherit him, the sick person, so then he gets a Batar Sirusha. Vimlav, if the person's a random individual, has no relationship to him, it might be a friend, but not a relationship, so then Notlin Mishim Matana, then he takes it as a gift. And we'll see later on what the Nafkamina is, whether it's a Yerusha or whether it's a Matana. But that's the din of Rav Huna. That if it's a relative, so it's considered a Yerusha. And if it's a non-relative, it's considered a matana. So Amar Lei Rav Nachman, Ganva Gnuva Lamalacha. Why are you stealing from us? Meaning, be clear. Why are you trying to hide this out? If it's Yerusha, if it's a Yoresh, it's Yerusha. Just say, Yisvir Lacha Krav Yochanan Broka, Ema Halacha Krav Yochanan Broka. Just be very direct. In essence, what Rav Huna is saying is what Rav Yochanan Broka says. If you decide that a Yoresh Bein HaYorshim is going to take all your property, that's the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan Broka. So why didn't Rav Huna just say that Shchemira writes his property to Yorish, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan Broka? Why does he not say that explicitly? Deha shmait sicha Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Who does that? Your very halacha, Rav Huna just said, was in essence just paskening like Rabbi Yochanan Broka. So then Rav Huna starts to think out loud. He says, well, Dilma, maybe what happened was as follows. Kihad kamris tahu tavakashachim. Maybe the guy was dying. So some individuals went over to him and say, Nich Salaman, who do you want your property to go to before you die? And they suggest him, Dilma Lepanya, maybe you want to give it to Ploni, this particular person, is that who you want to give it to? And the ill person says, Amrlo, Ella Laman, who else will I give it to if not him? Of course I want to give it to that guy. So Amrislan, so they say to him, Allah, okay, if that individual, Imrai Liarsh, if that individual was a guy who's a relative of yours, so no Lin Mishim Yusha, he takes it as an inheritance. Vimlav, if he's a person who's not related to you, so then Nolan Mishim Matan, he takes as a gift. So if it's because of the dialogue, you weren't trying to say a halacha that we passed like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, you were just describing exactly what happened in that dialogue, and that's why you didn't mention his name, so maybe that's what happened? And Rav Huna responds back, Amrlan in Hacha Kamina, that's exactly what happened. So yes, I do pass like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, but I wasn't saying a halacha, I was describing in that particular scenario, so then this is the following halacha. So, okay. So either way, Rav Huna has this halacha, if it's a Yoresh, it's Yerusha, if it's not a Yoresh, it's Matana. So the Mai Hilcha, so what's the Nafkamina, whether it gets Bitoras Matana or Bitoras Yerusha? So the Gemara answers as follows, the Mai Hilcha, so Sava Rav Ada Bar Ava Kameh Dirava Lameimai. I wanted to say the following. This is the Nafkamina. Imrai Liyarsho Almanaso Nizones Minichasav. If the person who's getting this property from the Shchemira is a relative, so then the widow of the Shchemira is going to be supported from this property that goes to the Yorish. Because we know there's halacha based on the Gemara Ketubis that the Almana is going to Yorish from that estate. Rather, it should be Nizones, should be supported from that estate. Vimlav, the person the Shchemira is giving the property to is not a relative, rather it's going with Toras and Matana only as a gift, so then the halacha is Ein Almanasa Nuzernes Menichasav. Then the widow of the Shchemira cannot collect from the property because it's given over as a gift and she has no strings attached to it. So that's the Nafkamina, whether the Almana is going to be able to collect from the money that passed over to this individual. Again, if the individual is a Yorish, so then it's considered Yerusha, and the Almana takes from the Yorish, but if it's a Matana, so then the Almana doesn't collect from that money. So Amar Lei Rava, Rava responds back, Migra Gara, that's going to be worse off. You give it as a Matana, meaning what? Hash to be Yerusha Deraisa, Yerusha, which is a Din Deraisa, the Yorish gets it, a Din Deraisa tells us, we'll look at Rashbam in a second, Amras, even though it's a Deraisa, that Yorish gets to keep everything. Yet, the halacha is, the Rabbanan came along and said, Amris, Amunas and Nizonis Midichasav. Even though the Yorish has the full rights, exclusive rights to it, Midiraisa, the Rabbanan came in and said, we're giving the Amana anyways to support her. So now, when it comes to Bimatana, which is only Dindi Rabbanan, we'll see why that is only the Rabbanan, Lokoshkin, certainly in that case, Rabbanan should say the Amana should be able to collect from a person whose only right to the property is only the Rabbanan level. So, of course, in both cases, the Almana should be Nizones Midichasav. So look at the Rashbam for some explanation here. Look at the Rashbam. It's around 10, 12 lines up from the bottom here. It says in the middle of the line, Migra Gari, Bitumiya. Because you give it to the Matana, the Amana is worse off now. V'chihura kocha she'amanasa, b'kach, she weakens her hold. Hashta b'yerusha deraisa. Now when it comes to the Yoresh, who gets it on a deraisa level, da'alima koch Yoresh, that the Yoresh is a stronger possession of the Yerusha, imra'i liyarsha, if he's truly a potential Yoresh, she'atorah zichtala, the Torah already had given it to the Yoresh, dichsiv, b'yomen chiles banav, that the children or any other Yoresh have the full deraisa rights to get the property. And yet, afilu hachi, aminan amana nizonis minichsei ayorish. Yet the Chacham came along and said that the amana could take away from the deraisa rightful owner to be supported. So that works when there's a Yerusha deraisa. So certainly in the case of matana derabanan to the Rashbam, kihach, like our case of the matana shchimira, she'ein bakinan ela midrabanan, the ability of the Shkimira to pass over the property only works on a Dirabanan level, could appreciate, like he's explained before, mehen, because by the Shkimira there is no Maisa Kinnin, if you remember. It was only a Dibur Ba'alma. That doesn't work in general by a Kinnin. But we were careful by a Shkimira because we don't want him to die, and if he doesn't have the property passed on who he wants to, he might lose his sanity and cause his death. So in that case, we were makel to allow his Dibur Ba'alma to be considered Kimisurin Dami, as if it was passed over. But that passing over from the Shemira to another individual is only a din derabanan. Granted, it has deraisa effects to it. It works, but it's only a din derabanan. So certainly in that case, the almana of the Shemira should be able to collect from that property. So bein Yerusha, bein Matana, the almana should be nizonas mitachasaf. So that's not the nafkamina between Yerusha and Matana. So what is the nafkamina? The Gemara says now, back inside, six lines up, Ela Amarava Kiddushalach Rav Acha Bar Rav Avia L'Divrei Rav Yochanan Mebroka. What do you say? He sent in the following halacha. Nichsei Lucha V'Acharecha L'Ploni. If I say my property is going to you, and after you die, I wanted to give it to some other person. So Im Haya Rishon Rai L'Yarsh. If the first guy he's giving the property over to is a true Yorish, so then Ein L'Sheni B'Makom Rishon Klum. So then if the Rishon dies, the second guy can't get it. Because now she'ein lashem matana el lashem yerusha, the yerusha ain't lahefsek. Because once the rishon gets it, he was using the terminology of yerusha. So once the rishon gets it b'tos yerusha, it goes on to his descendants. You can't cut it off to sheni who's not related to him at all. So that was the halacha. So if again the shechmirah gave it to the first guy b'tos yerusha, so the second guy has no chelik to it afterwards. But if he gave it to the Rishon, Bataris Matana, and he says, Nichse Lecha, V'acharecha L'Ploni, if that was Bataris Matana, so then it would work, then Matana would go to the Rishon, and after the Rishon, it would go over to the Shady. So that's an Afkamina, where again, he tried mapping out who's going to get it, if it was given in Bataris Yerusha, so the second line doesn't make a difference, but if it's given as Bataris Matana, so then it does work from Rishon, then it can go to a second guy. So the Gemara says now, Amr Le Rav Al Rav Nachman, for Afsakeh, who? Didn't he make a Tanai? He made a Tanai. Isn't he able to make a Tanai here and say it's going to go from one person to the next person? Why does that Tanai not work? We have a Tanai all the time that works. What's wrong with this Tanai? So Gemara says, who suffer Yesh lehefsek, Rachman Amar Ein lehefsek. Because he wanted to create a Tanai, but the Torah says otherwise. And look what the Rashbam writes in the bottom here. Rachman Amar Ein lehefsek. Vavi matana amashkasa b'torah. The Torah says once Rishon is Yorishit, it goes all to the descendants of Rishon. And you're not able to make a Tanai against the Torah. So to make a Tanai that after Rishon dies, it gets to some other random guy, Shani guy, that goes against the Torah, and that's why it does not work. So this is an afkamina, this halacha, Rishon l'Shani, if it's Torah Shirusha, so Shani guy is cut off, but if it's B'torah Matana, so then you can dictate who's going to get it after the Rishon. It's a fascinating discussion. We're all familiar with when it comes to the Sefer HaChinuch, no one knows who the Mechaber is. They used to think it was the Ra'ah, then later on they found that maybe it was a Talmud of the Rajba. So they use this sugi here to figure out who the rightful owner is. The basifying rights that we learn from the sugi that it was actually the Talmud of the Rajba. Why? Because the discussion, the Rajba and Ra'ah, they actually have a machlokas here. Machlokas is if a person says, Nichsei Lecha, V'acharecha Le'anim, or Lehektesh, what's the halacha there? So the Rashba writes that when it comes to Nichsei Lecha, V'acharecha Lehektesh, he says that does not go to Hektesh. Because once you give the first guy B'Torah Yerusha, you can't change the direction of it afterwards. He writes down there in a tshuva. Ra argues and says, no, you can. If a Shchemira writes to the Rishon and wants to give to Sheni afterwards, who's Hektesh, then it actually would pass over to Hektesh. So the Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Tav, he says, based on my Rebbe, you say Nichse Lecha V'lo Lehektesh, and after Acharecha Lehektesh, it does not go to Hektesh, which is against the Ra'ah, but it is in accordance with the Rajbav. So these are one of the proofs they bring, that in fact it wasn't written by the Ra'ah, but it was written by the Talmud of the Rajbav. Okay, now let's go to Amud Beis. Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis at the top. Marna tells us how who the Amr Le Lechavre, a person said to another person, Nichse Lecha V'acharecha Leploni, I want to give you the property, but after you die, I want my old friend to have the rest of the remaining part of the property. So Rishon Roi L'Yarsho, the first guy is a relative of Reuven's. So what's the halacha? So have a shach of Rishon, the first guy dies. And also Sheni Katava. Now the second guy, who was only a friend of the initial owner, not a relative, so he wanted to know what the halacha is. So Katava, he claimed the property is mine. Wasn't that the agreement that he wrote? That Rishon gets it first, his relative, but I'm going to get it after the relative dies. So Sava Ravi Ilish Kamid Rava Lamar Shani Nami Shako. So Rav Ilish wanted to paskin that yeah, the Shani gets it because the guy, the owner, the Morish, the first guy, has the right to direct where the path of the property goes. So he goes against the halacha we just saw. So even though the Shani is not a relative, the Shani can get it. So Rava says to him, Rava was present, Amalei Dayane de Chatitza Hachi Dayana. These are judges of Chatzitza. What's Chatzitza? Look at Rashbam. Rashbam writes three lines down, Dayani Pshara. These are guys who compromise. Shein Bekin Bedin. They don't really know Halacha Chosha Mishpat. V'chotitzin Mechzalazeh Mechzalazeh Kedin Mamun Hamuta Basafik. They don't know. They just compromise and split it half and half. Meaning he's referring to, even though they weren't doing a Pshara here, that's how you refer to people who don't know the Halacha, and they make things up and they just try to be fair. Even though there's a clear halacha in one direction, that's how he referred to Rav Ilish. You made a mistake. The Shani has no rights to it, because once the Rishon, who is royally Yarsho, was Yarship, he doesn't go to the Shani. It goes to the descendants of the Rishon. So what happened? So Lav Hainu Deshalach Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Bar Rav Avia. Then we learn halacha Namar Aleph, that the Shani doesn't have rights to it. So Ichsef, so Rav Ilish got very embarrassed by this. Look at the Rashbam writes three narrow lines down. Ichsef Rav Ilish Mirava. Pen Yoma Rava, he thought maybe Rava was saying in his Belibo, Ila lo ha'isi v'kan ha'yadan din shekhai. Rava's thinking, good thing I was here, because Rav Ilish doesn't know how to paskin. So Rav Ilish feels very embarrassed by this. What does Rava think about me? So v'chein kol dinim shodan nishalo b'fanai. He probably thinks every other case I paskin, like I'm probably wrong also now. So he felt really embarrassed by this. So comes along now Rava to appease him and make him feel and comfort him. Rava says, Kari alea, ani Hashem bi'ita achisena. I was here at the right time, meaning only I was here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me at this time just to save you at this one time. The fact that Hashem didn't bring me at all the other instances said that you probably paskin the right way. We just siyata d'shemaya. That's the Rashbam writes. Kara alav Rava l'nachma ani Hashem bito achisena. Rava wanted to comfort him, quoted this pasuk, and he says, Be'ez shatzadikim tzuicham liyeshua, when the tzadikim require some type of saving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamsi lehem, he gives them the yeshua that they need. Sa'afata, so too with you. I know you well. You never made a mistake in your life before this, and you're paskening shilas. Shari Akshav is only this is the first time. Zimeni li HaKadosh Baruch Hu kodem shegati l'ra v'lo nechshalta. This is the first time it actually happened that I was present, that you gave a psak here. So it must be this was the only time that you almost made a mistake, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented it from happening. And it doesn't say how he felt afterwards, but I would imagine afterwards the Rav Ilish felt quite good after Rav appeased him with his pasuk in Yeshaya. Okay. Gemara now sets a new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that HaKosev as nechasev la'acherim, a person writes property to someone else, v'niach es banav, and completely ignores his children, doesn't allow his children to get any of the property, ma'asha asa asli, whatever they did was fine, ela ein ruach nechachamim noche imanu. Chacham are not very pleased with such an individual who writes off the property to some random person who's not a relative, a son of his own. Now, if you read this line in the Mishnah, ein ruach nechacham noche imanu, sounds like they're not very happy with you. It doesn't seem so strong. Ah, they're not so happy. It wasn't the biggest deal. But look at Rashbam writes. Rashbam has a pretty stark lashon here in how he presents this. He says, Masha asa asri, writing the property off to some other person, to a friend, it's a good, the deal goes through. Milsa pshitahi, that makes sense. Umishim seifa nakila, but they brought this case in the Mishnah to tell you the seifa, the ein ruach nechacham noche imanu, which is what? Mishim seifa, says the Rashbam, nakila, to asr lasuskin, it's actually asr. I would not have gotten from the Mishnah that's Aser. I would just gotten that they're not happy with what you do. Rashbam says it's actually Aser to do this. And then he goes on in the next Rashbam to explain, Ein ruach chachamim nochei manu. They're not very pleased with such an individual. Ein lo chachamim nachas ruach mi ma'asav. They have no enjoyment and nachas from their actions. They actually get quite angry for uprooting the din deraisa and circumventing the children. This is a very relevant mission when it comes to a person writing a will and who they're giving their properties to. If you're not following the din deraisa, even if you're giving to, let's say, daughters or siblings or whatever, whoever else, it sounds maybe that the Chum would not be very pleased with such an individual. You should really follow the path of what the Torah dictates in terms of the Yerusha. I don't look around here if others say differently than the Rashbam, not calling it an Isser or not, but it sounds like a very strong language from the Rashbam. Then comes along Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Im lo hayu banav noagin kishura, then zachal atov. If the children are not following the path of Hashem, they're not tzaddikim, they're actually Risham, they're off the derech, then Rabban Shimon Gamliel actually praises such an individual, zachal atov, for not giving the property to the children. So Gemara now asks a question, Yibayilhu, mi pliga rabbanan ala de rashbagolo? Do Chachamim argue or not? Will Chachamim say, the Shita Tanakam, when they say, ein ruach nechamim nochei manu, is that even in a case where the children are Rishayim? Or no, that's a Stam case. The guy circumvents his children. But if they're Rishayim, maybe the Tanakama would agree to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So that's the Savik of the Gemara. Is this a Das Yachid, where even the Chacham agree when the children are Rishayim, when they're Ein Noagin Keshura, they're Zach Latov for not giving them any property. So Gemara brings an interesting story here of Tashma Yosef ben Yoezer, one of the earlier Tanayim. Tayelo ben Shlo Haya Noag Keshura. He had a child who wasn't on the proper Derech Hashem. And Havalei Ilasa di Dinara, he had an attic or a roof full of money. So come Akdeshe. So Yosef ben Yoezer stood up and he's Makdesh all the money. It should go to the base of Mikdash. So the question is, did he do the right thing or not by not giving it to his child? So Azil Nasiv Bas Gadil Klila Diane Malka. So his son went off and married the daughter of the crown maker of the Yana HaMelech. He married her. I guess it wasn't from or not Jewish even. I'm not sure, didn't say what she is. Okay, but he married her. Fine. And Olida Devesa, they had a child. Zavinla Binsa, so they bought a fish. And Kara, they ripped open the fish. And Ashkecha, Ba Margalisa, they found a very expensive jewel inside. So Amri La, so she says to him, to the husband, who was the son of Yosef ben Yoezer, so she must have been Jewish, I guess. Lo timte lamalka, don't give it to the king. Deshaklele minach b'demek kli yizil. They'll pay you very little kli. They're going to pay you very low price. They're going to lowball you for this pearl. What you should do, if you want to make some money, zil amte legave gizbari. Go to the gizbar of the hektish. They're going to pay you a fair price. And at the same time, when you go to the Hektish, to the Gizbar, to sell to the Beis HaMikdash, v'lo tishai ma'at, you shouldn't assess the value, because if you say this jewel's worth $1,000 only, so then, dami rasa l'gavok misi rasa l'hedio, dami. That once you say that this is worth $1,000 and you're giving this to Hektish, now that's the final price. You don't say anything, ela l'shai ma'inu, let them make the assessment, and just be patient. That was her suggestion. So, the Rashbam just points out here, interestingly, that the Gizbar, what were they selling the pearls for? To the Gizbar, Rashbam says, the Gizbar shall hektish v'kichanu la'avnei eifod. They'll use this jewel for afnei eifod and the Kohanim Gedolim, the Kohen Gadol's begadim. Even though this time there's no longer Urim V'Tumim, l'shalbahem, it didn't work, you couldn't ask questions from the Urim V'Tumim. K'dichsev adam oda kohen l'Urim V'Tumim, kadam shomer l'chaver ad shiyavo Mashiach. We lost Urim V'Tumim until Mashiach comes. But Eifod v'choshen mi'alobala, those parts of the begadim were still worn. And the Dain Kohen Gadol Mishamish below Shimon begadim. This is the rise for the Kohen Gadol to perform a voda without wearing a begadim. And the Eifod and the choshen were part of that. And they needed the jewels on the shoulders. So therefore they were selling, this must have been one of the jewels, the stone that were used for the Eifod and the choshen. That was the purpose of selling it to the Gizbar. So Gemara now says, Amti, so they went to the Beis HaMikdash, Shamua, and they assessed it for Tleisar Iliasa di Dinari. 13 times the that amount of the attic of money that Yosef ben Yezer himself had. He had one attic full, and now the value of this stone was so precious, it was worth 13 times that amount. Amalei, they said, listen, but we don't have the money to buy all that from you. We want that stone, but we can't afford it. So Sheva Ika Shisleka, we have seven rooftops of money to give you, but six more to total 13 that we don't have. Amarlu. So the son of Yosef ben Yezer said, "Sheva havili shis harei mukdashis l'shemayim. Seven I'll take, and the other six it's all yours. You don't owe me the money. I'll just take the seven gagim worth of money." So amdu v'kasfu. So they wrote afterwards. After this whole ma'isa, they wrote down. I don't know why this is the case. They wrote it down. Interesting. They wrote it down though. Yosef ben Yezer hichnis achas ubano hichnis sheish. That is Yosef had donated one attic full. And his son gave us six attic-fulls. He didn't say, we gave you return the debt. So what do you see from all this? So look at the Rashbam writes three wide lines down. Hichnis echad. Chadi lasa di dinar. He gave one floor worth of money. That was Yosef ben Yoezer. And Beno, his son, Shayasavar Shloyino Keshura, who was not following the Derech Hashem, hiktis sheish aliyos. He gave back six floor worths of gold. Shezichus aviv shikdish achas b'shvil shelo haya b'no no kishuro. The zichus Yosef ben Yehuda had in not giving his child the money, which is the right thing to do, gam l'b'no, it caused shehuch shel hekdesh sheish, caused a effect of six amounts being dedicated to the base of Mikdash. Umihacha, from here, da'kinin, we could derive l'kaman michlal the shapir of it Yosef ben Yehuda. He did the right thing. Amalo pliga Rabban Elai. Rabban didn't argue. Rabban agreed to Rabban Shimon Gamliel that when the children are lo hayuban of Nagin Keshura, zach letov. And therefore, Hadeha amdu v'kisu katani dainu kol chachmedo. They wrote it down to teach the halacha. That's why they wrote this ma'isa, to teach you the halacha that the person should not give his children if they're not following the Derech Hashem. But what?
He got paid back.
He made money, exactly. He did get money. So that's what the response is. The Gemara quotes an ikadamri. There's another version of how the story went. And that's that Yosef ben Yehuda hichnis achas ubno hotzi sheva. He took seven attics full of gold from the base of Mikdash. Midekamri hichnis michal de shaper avid. So Begmar said, wait a second. The fact that he invested money into Hektish sounds like he actually did a good thing. But then the Gemara says, ba'ad rabba, midikamri hotzi, from his son took out, he removed from Yakdishua's money, mechlal delav shapir avid. So he didn't do the right thing. So now it's unclear, to which the Gemara says, ella mehalek el mishmenine. You can't really, can't learn anything from here. Because the fact that the second version of the story says he took out seven amounts, that might indicate he did the wrong thing in giving his, in being maktish to his son. So it's inconclusive from this story. Nonetheless, an interesting story anyways. Gemara now says, what's the bottom line here? My Havala, what's the bottom line here? So Gemara says, Tashma, Damar le Shmuel, Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says to his Talmud, Rav Yehuda, Shinna, sharp one, like he always refers to him as, Lo teve bi aburia chasanta, v'afil mi brabisha lebratava, v'koshu mi bralabarta. Don't be involved in any case where they're passing over Yerusha to a person who shouldn't be getting it. Even if that means going from a Barabasha, a bad son, a Rasha, to a Baratava, to a good one, and certainly from a son to a daughter, don't be involved in such inyanim. Don't be involved in such isurim. And therefore the Gemara concludes from here that a person should never take away Yerusha from someone who deserves it. And the reason the Rishonim explain it is because even though this child might be a Rasha, his son might be a Tzaddik. And never take it away. That's what the Gemara concludes.
That's from a son to another person, but still a son amongst sons, like Rabbi Yochanan had broken, maybe it would be okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, that's only if you passing like Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Number two is, is he suggesting even Rabbi Yochanan Broka? He's talking about Mibar Bishle Baratava, even from a good son to a bad son. Mm-hmm. Bad son to a good son. So it sounds like even within Rabbi Yochanan Broka, he's saying not to be involved in these types of cases. So I think. Mm-hmm. So the Ask a Shaila, Rashi tells us on in Sefer Bereishis that virtually Ramah Paskins, the person asks that he says he leaves as a tzava in his will. I want you to do what the best thing to do on property is. So what does that mean? What's the best thing to do with your nechasim? So Ramah Paskins that you should give it to Ziyarshim. Do the proper, however the Torah tells you to do it. The banim, if there are no banim, you give it to the daughters and so on and so forth. So they ask a question, so how then We know our Rashi tells that Avram Avinu gave all the nechasim to Yitzchak and did not give it to Yishmael, nor did he give it to the Bnei Pilogshim. So isn't this going against the Din Deraisa that Avram kept Kol Torah Kula? So how could he go against his halacha of not giving all the Yerusha, splitting it evenly amongst his children? So Marsha and Sanhedrin already answers this question. And he says that since Yishmael was a Ben Shivcha is not Yeroi LeYorsha. There's no Yichus for a Ben Shivcha, for an evident essence. And therefore he wasn't Yeroi LeYorsha. That's the Marsha suggestion. The Be'er Sheva suggests that the reason why it's usher to take away from a Russian general if a child's a Russia, because we said before, because he might have a child who's a tzaddik. But Avram, with his Ruach HaKodesh, was able to tell that Yishmael would not have any tzaddikim from him, and that's why it's permitted in that case. In general, though, it would be usher to take any Yerusha from any of the children. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day, and you have a safe trip. Thank you.